The trading floor is closed. It's time to cut through the chatter and find the clarity. From the studios of Farm Journal Broadcast, this is AgriTalk After the Bell. Here's your host, Chip Flory.
Man, I'm excited for today's show.
I know you are. I know you are.
I love this kind of a show. You know, it's always, we've always got to stay on top of what's going on with the markets day to day and everything.
Of course we do. That's what we do.
That's what we do here. But we also have to stay very much up on the big factors that are behind the price moves, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's not much of a bigger factor than weather. Right?
Whether you like it or not.
Attaboy.
Yep.
There you go.
Yep.
Bring it.
Yeah.
Bring it.
Yeah.
So we're going to be talking with the guys from BAMWX today. We've got Michael Clark.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be talking about the U.S. and what's happening in the U.S., what might be happening in the U.S., and we're going to talk with Kirk Hinz. Both are about what's happening in South America. Both are meteorologists at BAMWX.com. So,
wide-ranging conditions in both, I would say.
Yes, I would
North
say,
and South America.
I would say that that is exactly right. And I know that Michael's been working on the extended forecast for the U.S., so we're going to ask him about that,
okay.
What it looks like for the second half of the month, now that for many locations we've got March coming in like a lion. Is it going to leave like
Does
a lion?
Does it count, though? Because on the first here it was in like a lamb, and I even mentioned that I think it was Joe V was hosting that day.
My first
the
days,
first was my, good.
My first days of March in Iowa
yeah.
kind of stunk.
Okay.
You
so
know?
You're going with the chip-centric
I,
model.
I am.
Okay.
Yeah. Why
Fair
shouldn't
enough.
I?
Fair enough. Okay.
Oh, that's too much fun. So, yeah, we're talking weather. We are talking weather on today's show. The dollar was sharply lower. Almost half a cent lower, so that was pretty impressive move. Crude slightly higher by the time we were getting to late in the session there. And stocks, the last time I looked, they were slightly higher, but who knows right now.
I mean,
yeah, the Dow is still just very slightly higher, like 8 points higher. It could be turning around and going back south as we speak. Corn slightly higher, soybeans. Old crop was lower, new crop was higher.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll ask Joe about that here in just a bit.
Yeah.
Soybean meal was lower. Bean oil was higher. Winter wheat slightly lower. Spring wheat was higher. Live cattle, feeder cattle, and lean hogs were all lower in today's trade. Great day to give us a call. Talk the weather. It's 855-4-TALK-AG, 855-482-5524. You can also tweet at us. And when you do, be sure to include hashtag ChipATB. All right. Buddy, what was moving the markets?
Chip, the U.S. dollar index was sharply lower in trading near session lows as the grain trade was wrapping up. Concerns over developing trade tensions originating from the Trump administration are putting markets on the defensive and causing some wild gyrations in currencies and stocks.
Yeah, but overall, the markets have done a really nice job absorbing the uncertainty over trade. Brian Grady, Jim Wiesmeyer, and I had a great conversation about this morning on AgriTalk. Give that a listen when you get a chance.
The latest crop updates from USDA showed slight improvement in the hard red winter wheat crop in Kansas, Texas, and Oklahoma. That provided some cover for speculative traders to take profits on long positions. Still, the HRW crop remains in tough shape, with most areas in need of precipitation ahead of green up at mid-month. On the demand side of the market, Egypt bought Russian wheat, and trade sources report Taiwan bought about 93,000 metric tons of U.S. wheat.
Yeah, nice to see There's some that. Demand for the U.S. wheat there. But the drop in price following even a slight increase in the crop ratings in the hard red belt, that's what I've been talking about this week. It is hard. I mean, it is really hard to get crop condition ratings much worse than what they were last week. So a bit of an improvement, that should not be a surprise at all.
May hard red futures were 4 cents lower at 541.5. May soft red fell 2.25 cents to close at 507 even. May spring wheat was up 4.75 at 629. Corn futures traded lower for much of the session, but were able to climb back to slightly higher levels on the close. Support solid export demand for U.S. corn the past 2 months continued to provide support for corn prices, as did the ongoing drought in Argentina. Pro Farmer crop consultant Dr. Michael Cordonier from Soybean and Corn Advisor this morning cut another 1 million metric tons from his Argentine corn crop estimate, dropping it to 35 million. Ahead of Thursday's supply and demand update from USDA, traders are looking for USDA to put the Argentine crop at about 36.5 million metric tons.
Right. Michael left his Brazilian corn crop estimate unchanged at 86 million tons. Right now he's saying that we're past the optimum planting date, but they are still planting corn, but it is starting to get late.
May corn futures were a penny higher at 388 and one quarter. July corn firmed a penny to close at 935 and a half. December corn, 935 and a half, really? I didn't... I missed that. December corn at 406 and a half, up a half cent on the day. Yeah. I don't know what that's supposed to be. USDA this morning announced the sale of 120,000 metric tons of U.S. beans to China for delivery in the current marketing year. That helped to sell, boys, sell! That helped to support bean prices. But the feature in the soy complex today was the unwinding of long meal, short bean oil spreads, forcing some adjustments in crush margins.
Yeah, it was 395.
395.
Yeah. Good Lord.
A little listexia going on there.
Yeah, no question about it. And you know what else happened in the bean market? We saw some profit taking on the bull spreads. I'm going to ask Joe about that here in about 30 seconds.
Dr. Cordonier cut another 2 million from his Argentine bean crop peg, dropping it to 45 million metric tons. And he warns there is more downside risk to the crop this week. That cut was partially offset by another 1 million ton increase to his Brazilian bean crop estimate, which Dr. C now puts at 114 million metric tons, Chip.
Yeah, and going into Thursday's S&D, traders are looking for USDA to put the bean crop at about 48.4, the Brazilian bean crop at 113.8.
May soybean futures were 2¾ cents lower at 10.74¾. July beans softened 2¾ to close at 10.83 even. November beans closed to 10.45½, up 3¼ cents on the day. Let me gather myself. We'll do the livestock at the bottom of the hour.
Sounds great. Thank you, Davis.
You bet.
Let's go to the Chicago Mercantile Exchange to get a feel from the floor from Joe Vaclavec, Standard Grain. Joe, first things first, thanks for helping out last week, bud.
No problem. Welcome back to the show.
Yeah, it's good to be back in here. Hey, the old crop beans lower, new crop beans higher today. Spread unwinding, or was there something more significant?
I think it's just normal volatility. I mean, okay. The July versus Nov spread went from a nickel carry to a 48 cent inverse in less than 2 months. So I think that volatility in the spread market like that is to be expected. I mean, I think the bigger question is why are old crop beans more expensive than new crop beans when we're supposedly swimming in supplies here? I mean, is this a demand rationing deal? Is that really what we're doing when we're going to have a 500 million bushel carryout? I think that's the bigger question.
Okay, so China comes in, buys 120,000 tons of beans overnight, and I had a half a dozen guys ask me today, Joe, if that was the start of the backloaded demand for beans. I mean, one sale, that one daily sales announcement, and people are losing their mind.
Yeah, we need a lot more than that to play catch up here. I mean, I don't know how this could work. I mean, if you look at every seasonal chart in regard to exports that's ever been put out, it tells you that we're entering a period of very weak exports here for beans. So I don't know. Are we going to see a big contra-seasonal jump here for some reason? I don't know what to make of it, really, to be honest.
Yeah, that is a tough call. I mean, it would be exceptional if all of a sudden we would start to see a bunch of demand for U.S. beans from China. Hey, this cattle trade, a little bit of pressure today, nothing serious, but what are you thinking?
Just kind of disappointing because we had a higher start and it looked really good early and then we backed off. Positive basis, hope cash can be steady this week.
That would be a positive for this market, no doubt about it. All right, thanks, bud. We'll talk to you again next week.
Yep, see you, Chip. Bye.
Yep, that is Joe Vaclavec, Standard Grain in Chicago. It's a weather day on ATB, and when we come back, we're going to be talking with Michael Clark and Kirk Hens. Both those guys are meteorologists at BAMWX.com. We're going to find out what's happening in South America now and what might happen in the U.S. later. That's next on ATB.
No matter what you do, you're always raising the bar, trying to do better than ever. New DeLauro fungicide for corn and soybeans can help you get the edge you're looking for. DeLauro has a broader spectrum of disease control and best-in-class dual mode of action residual. Plus, it improves plant health, so your top-performing hybrids and varieties will have the protection they need to help you achieve your personal best yields. DeLauro from Bayer. Keep raising the bar. Always read and follow label instructions.
Putting in a hard day's work, doing the right thing, treating people with respect. American values as true as the wind that blows through our farms. For nearly 30 years, there's been an American company working side by side with farmers to harness the power of wind, creating local jobs and new reliable sources of income for small towns. We are NextEra Energy Resources, an American company, proud to bring clean, renewable energy home. Learn more at nextaeraenergyresources.com.
So, Mr. Wolf, is it? Are you absolutely sure you want to take your money out of this strategic financial portfolio and put it all into dog toys?
Your Farm Dog USA assistant won't be able to make savvy financial decisions for you, but he will be able to help around the farm by picking up drop tools, managing your herd, and opening latch gates. Learn more at pharmdog.org.
Hey, Bill, any advice to control tough weeds and rootworms?
That's easy, Jim. Buy two, save three.
Wait, for weeds and rootworms?
Buy two, save three. Combine your Impact or new Impact Z herbicide purchase with a qualifying insecticide and save $3 per acre.
Buy two, save three. That is good advice.
For details, go to buy2save3.com. Impact, Impact Z, and Buy Two Save Three are trademarks owned by Amvac Chemical Corporation. All rights reserved. Impact Z is a restricted-use pesticide. Always read and follow label instructions.
Are you paying too much for fuel and fertilizer? Verify you're getting the best price with Input Monitor from Farm Journal Media. Knowing the low, average, and high price quotes from dealers in your area for fertilizers and farm fuels can save you thousands of dollars. Input Monitor gives you an easy, anonymous method to compare fertilizer and fuel prices from across the Midwest. Plus, get grower-focused buying advice, local pricing charts, industry news, and purchase alerts so you don't miss any critical buying opportunities. Visit InputsMonitor.com for subscription information. That's InputsMonitor.com. Unbiased and farmer-focused, Inputs Monitor is the newest and best tool to help growers buy inputs at exactly the right time. Before you book your next fertilizer or fuel contract, verify you're getting a fair price with Inputs Monitor. Learn more at InputsMonitor.com. That's InputsMonitor.com.
Next Era Energy Resources, an American company working side-by-side with farmers and ranchers to harness the power of the wind and create local jobs for small towns. Learn more at NextEraEnergyResources.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. After the bell, everybody, I am your host, Chip Flory. Corn was slightly higher today, so it started lower. That was an impressive thing about that corn market
today. Nice little turnaround.
And it waited until late in the game before it decided, you know what, there just isn't a whole lot of selling left in this market, and they pushed it up to the upside.
Like the look of that.
You bet. So corn was slightly higher. Soybeans, old crop was lower, new crop was higher. Soybean meal lower, bean oil higher. A lot of spread unwinding going on in the soy complex today. Winter wheat slightly lower, spring wheat higher. Again, spread unwinding going on there. Live cattle, feeder cattle, and lean hogs were all under some pressure in today's trade. We are talking weather on today's show. We've got Michael Clark. Michael is a meteorologist at BAMWX.com. Joins me now. Michael, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Hey, man, we are doing fantastic over here. And we've got Kirk Hands. Kirk Hands is also a meteorologist at BAMWX. How are you, Kirk?
I'm doing well, Chip. Thanks for having us.
Good, good, good. Hey, first off, big thanks to you guys helping us out every Monday on AgriTalk, giving us a heads up on some of the weather issues that we need to be paying attention to throughout the course of the week. So thanks for doing that for us. And of course, thanks for making the time to be on the show with us today so that we can take a bit of a deeper look at what is going on with the weather out there. Kirk, I want to start with you. I want to start with you, buddy. We've been following what's going on in South America, obviously, very closely. I'm not going to ask you to do any crop comments or anything like that, dude. All I want to do is talk the weather patterns and what has been going on. So it's been dry in Argentina. We know that. But I got a couple of messages from guys, Kirk, and they both said, start with temperatures. What have the temperatures been like in Argentina here for the past couple of weeks?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. The temperatures in the main growing areas have been about 3 to 5 degrees above normal. So, and that's an attribution to the dryness there. It allows it to get warmer a little bit faster. So to put that in perspective, that's somewhere around the low to mid 90s every single day, with some of those obviously being higher in the low 100s. So it's been very, very warm, and especially for this time of the year too, because this is kind of entering their fall kind of season.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think everybody out there, or at least the farmers, understand why we're asking that question and why they pointed me towards the temperatures first. It's because last year here in the U.S., we did turn off dry in late June, July, and part of August, but we had the cooler temperatures that took some stress off the crop.
Exactly. It's kind of a similar scenario, except the temperatures are just extremely different, and we're much, much drier than kind of some of the driest areas in the U.S. last year, too. So it's kind of compounding. We're both very dry. I mean, put it in perspective, the main growing areas over the last 30 days have seen like 10, maybe 25% the normal. We're like 3 to 5 inches below normal just in the past 30 days where we need the rain the most. So, and we're throwing on temperatures that are 3 to 5 degrees above normal. So it's a really dire situation.
Yeah. So to add some perspective to it, when you rank February in the most dry Februarys for Argentina, this one's right up there, isn't it?
Yeah. March is interesting because, the way that I see this unfolding is over the next 7 to 10 days, I still think we're very dry. I think that there's a cap on that, though. And I know our clients have been kind of kept aware of this, but I think we're talking somewhere around the 15th to the 16th of March. I think things start to change. I do think we start to work in more rainfall. Now, I'm not talking widespread blanket rainfall, but things are definitely starting to change in the overall pattern for Argentina. I don't think, you know, we can't stay dry forever. Things are going to start changing around mid-month.
Okay, so what's the big driver of that change? Yeah. Is it ENSO related? What is it?
It's kind of twofold. It is a little bit ENSO related as we're coming off of a La Nina. We're going into more of a neutral state of La Nina. But what really is driving it is what's called the Antarctic Oscillation. Just to make it really simple, when you're positive in the Antarctic Oscillation or the AAO, you see more higher pressure across central Argentina. You see more dryness, warmth there. It's exactly what we've seen basically the past 45 days, and it's been a positive AAO here. But what's changing is by about the 15th, 16th, we're starting to see a lot of data suggest a negative AAO, which basically just means lower pressure, more cold fronts, more low pressure systems, aka there's more rain chances. So I definitely think that we need to watch around the 16th to 18th of March for kind of those rains to return in the bigger growing areas.
Okay. Hey, Michael, yesterday when you were on AgriTalk, you mentioned a change in the pattern here in the U.S. at the same time. Does it have something to do with that Arctic Oscillation Index?
It's, you know, not as much up here as it is down there. Albeit that there is some key things going on that we can get into, but it's a little bit more dominant down there than it is up here in the U.S.
Gotcha. Okay, yeah, well, I want to talk. Obviously, we're going to talk with Michael more about the U.S. In the next segment, but wanted him in here. To check Kirk's comments, I guess. Sorry, dude.
I'll check.
Yeah, spell check in the comments as we go. Okay, so Kirk, change in the pattern potentially coming around mid-month in Argentina. Like you said, it can't stay dry forever. Does that translate into a change in the weather patterns up in Brazil as well?
No, I don't think so. Mainly because the Antarctic Oscillation is specifically for Argentina and, like, say, Uruguay. I honestly think the entire month of March we're seeing pretty significant above normal rainfall in Brazil. So
really?
We're getting a little bit more rainfall in Argentina, but we're just going to continue to see a lot of low pressure systems ride right into the main growing areas of Brazil. So I think overall, if I had to place a number on it, I would say probably 200 to 300% above normal, say like in Mato Grosso, Goiás, Mato Grosso do Sul. Kind of those main growing areas. So it's just looking really, really wet.
Man, I am running out of breath talking about some wet harvest conditions down there in Brazil, Kirk.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, if anybody's got some insight into what's going on with the harvest conditions down in Brazil, give us a holler right now. It's 855-4-TALK-AG. That's 855-482-5524. Or tweet them at us. Just put hashtag ChipATB on there. So when does this dry season – when's the dry season in Brazil supposed to start then, Kirk?
Well, it's not supposed to be this wet. I'll tell you that.
Okay.
It's because of the transition in Enzo and a couple other things. Like, we're moving around where the high pressure has been and the low pressure has been, just to keep things simple. We are supposed to get drier, but it's looking like it could be delayed until, you know, sometime in April. So we're certainly a lot wetter than normal, and we're staying a lot wetter than normal for longer. So normally we'd be getting drier. It's just we're not seeing that. So
okay,
it's just kind of delayed.
Yeah, this is kind of weird, because everybody in Brazil talks about we need to get that corn crop planted. If we can get it planted by, you know, in early March, March 1, the Safrina
yeah.
corn crop,
yeah.
we're gonna be that much better off, because we're going to be out in front of the dry season during pollination.
Right.
Now, if we're seeing this rainy pattern continue further, a little bit further, I mean, is it going to get into that dry season and take some potential pressure off that crop?
It could. It definitely could. I think the potential there for certainly is there too. I think what's also interesting though is we're actually strengthening that above normal anomaly of rainfall there. I mean, when I say above normal, like 200%, for example, we're talking, you know, 3 to 5, 3 to 6 inches. That's a lot of rainfall. Now, I know the soils can take a lot more there, but when you're like 3 to 6 inches every week, I mean, 10 to 12 inches plus throw in their infrastructure is much significantly different than ours. I mean, you could see the writings on the wall why there's problems even transporting the crop they get out of the ground.
Yeah, yeah, that
Kirk,
much.
Chip, I can add to that real quick. I was at a talk in Illinois this morning out in Springfield, and a couple of guys were saying they had talked to some guys in South America who said the soil moisture profile is completely saturated and they cannot get that second corn crop in yet. And they did say that they may be trying until the last week of March, but after that, they're going to stop trying.
Yeah,
so
it's interesting.
I mean, something I heard from, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Even with those soils that drain well up in Central, and sometimes too well, you get that much rain, Kirk, and it still makes mud, don't it?
it does. I mean, you can exactly. Water plus dirt will always make mud. So.
No question. No question about it. I remember that from when I was a kid. All right. We're talking with Kirk Hens. Kirk is a meteorologist at BAMWX.com. He's going to stick around. So if you guys have got any questions about South American weather, now's the time to get in with it. Send it to #ChipATB on your tweet. And we're going to get focused on the U.S. I just looked at the radar, and right where we're at here in Northeast Iowa, it's right in the center of that big low pressure. My gosh, how long is it going to last, and what's the extended outlook for the U.S.? That's next on ATB.
The Climate Field View platform gives you the digital tools to uncover data-driven insights so you can make better farm management decisions and get the most out of every acre. To learn what Climate Field View can do for your operation, contact your local dealer or visit climate.com for more information. Climate Field View services provide estimates or recommendations and do not guarantee results. More information at www.climate.com/disclaimers.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
It's time for ATB's Tech Talk. Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Vaught joins us. Dan, what's the market move that matters the most today, buddy?
Hey, Chip, I'm looking at May hard red spring wheat futures today. The mid-2017 drought in the Dakotas sets HRS prices soaring, with the May 2018 contract peaking at $7.92¾ per bushel. It has since declined and posted a fresh 8-month low of $6.08 last Tuesday, but it reversed dramatically over the next 2 days, bouncing to $6.36 before setting back. It's traded on both sides of its 40-day moving average around $6.20 during the past week, but bears haven't been able to force a close back below that level. They did drive the price down to $6.14.5 this morning, but the market came back strongly and may settle at $6.27.5. I think that signals robust underlying strength and the potential for a bullish follow-through if and when it tops last week's high.
Yeah, boy, that's a market that we're paying a close attention to leading up to the prospective plantings report. Thanks, Dan.
Where do you turn to protect your bottom line? It's time you turn to Pro Farmer for easy-to-follow market news and advice for both cash marketers and futures and options users. Visit tryprofarmer.com today for a no-obligation four-week trial to the nation's number one marketing newsletter. That's tryprofarmer.com. Pro Farmer is not a brokerage firm, so you're not going to get a lot of in-and-out trading advice or elaborate option strategies. You will get rock-solid fundamental market outlook and recommendations that farmers have relied on for generations. Stop sifting through mountains of confusing analysis. Pro Farmer selects only the most important news to save you time and keep you focused on what really matters. Make better informed marketing decisions to protect your bottom line. Try the Pro Farmer newsletter absolutely free. Visit tryprofarmer.com. That's tryprofarmer.com.
Thank you for calling XYZ Financial. To pay your credit card bill, say, "Hey, Bill." I'm sorry, I couldn't understand you. To speak with an operator, press 0. Gracias por elegir español. Para pagar su factura de tarjeta de crédito.
Your FarmDog USA assistant won't be able to pay your credit card bill, but he will be able to help around the farm by picking up drop tools, managing your herd, and opening latch gates. Learn more at pharmdog.org.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Expert analysis from the CME floor and experts across the country. This is AgriTalk After the Bell with Chip Flory.
And we're talking weather on ATB today, but before we get back to the guys from BAMWX, let's get some livestock news and a recap from Davis.
Let's do start with that livestock update where live cattle futures pushed higher in early trade, but profit-taking pushed prices lower at midday, and a lack of direction from the cash market kept futures under pressure through the close. April live cattle were 40 cents lower at 122.82 and a half. June cattle fell 57 and a half cents to close at 114.77 and a half, and April feeders were 75 cents lower at 146. 12 and a half. On the snout side, April lean hog futures gapped higher on the open, but quickly turned lower as the front month contract failed to fully test resistance at the bottom of that February 28 downside price gap. That's at 69.50, Chip. April lean hogs were 60 cents lower at 68.20. June hogs fell 102 and a half to 79.95. May hard red winter wheat futures were 4 cents lower today at 541 and a half, with May SRW down 2 1/4 cents to close at 507 even. May corn a penny higher at 388 and one quarter. New crop corn at 406 and one half, up a half cent on the day. And May beans were 2 3/4 cents lower at 1074 and three quarters. Novi beans closed at 1045 and a half, up 3 1/4 cents on the day. There's your quick market recap. Back to you, Chip.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. You. All right. Kirk Hands has been talking South American weather with us. Michael Clark is coming on now talking about what's happening in the U.S. Both the guys are meteorologists at BAMWX.com. Michael, you know, we're moving that, it looks like we're moving that low out of the Midwest now, but it's really created some issues up in South Dakota. It's created some issues for us here in, I shouldn't just say South Dakota, up in the Dakotas, Minnesota. It's created some issues for us in Iowa, but it seems like that's moving on out.
It is, yeah, and we're about ready to undergo a little bit of a change, but I'll tell you what, it definitely put down some serious snowfall. I mean, there were some places that got, you know, a foot or more of snow in the Dakotas and western Minnesota. So right. a taste of old man winter around here so far.
Yeah, yeah, no question about it. Hey, let's give a shout out or pay a little attention to the guys out on the East Coast, too. Good gosh, what is heading their way?
Yeah, another winter storm. Winter storm warnings posted up there into the north and east, and some places 10 to even probably locally 15, 20 inches of snow up there in some spots. I mean, it's just another doozy of a snowstorm. And, and under this kind of pattern, it's classic. I mean, you get these East Coast snowstorms and these East Coast big storms. There's still people up there without power from the last storm. So yeah. It's not looking good, unfortunately, dealing with another winter storm coming up.
Yeah. All right. So I got a tweet from us earlier today from some guy. It says, pattern turns pretty dry over the next 10 days. Is this the start of an overall dry month ahead? It's a pretty good question. It comes in from @Met_MD Clark. Oh, that's probably you, isn't it?
So, probably me, yeah.
Yeah. So what's going on? We're trending a little drier here now?
Yeah, I mean, I think that overall over the course of at least the next, month and a half, I think we're progressively turning just a little bit drier than normal. In fact, the next 10 days, I mean, some places aren't going to get any rain at all. And even when you get into the fantasy land of the GFS model that runs all the time out to 15 days, there's just barely any rain on it. And, a lot of the research we've been doing here over the past month has just continuously hinted that drier risks would evolve as we rumble into spring and into summer. But it's interesting to see how dry the some of these models are turning, especially just over the next 15 days. It certainly is going to be a little bit of a different look, and then we're going to start moderating temperatures as well.
Okay, so what's driving this change here, Michael?
So essentially what's going on is we are watching the North Pacific Ocean and the pattern out in the North Pacific, and how we're starting to see a lot of ridging take place and high pressure take place. And we know that, 2, 3, 4 weeks out from the pattern we're seeing in the North Pacific Ocean can show up here in the U.S. And we also, that's something else that we're watching very closely is basically, simply put, is the convection or the storm activity in the Western Pacific Ocean near like India and Africa, believe it or not, in the Indian Ocean.
Okay.
It is going through some very unique phases that have some very close correlations to some pretty dry years. So the forcing and overall everything going on in the atmosphere really is just kind of starting to push us towards that a little bit more of a drier regime. So there's a lot going on that's kind of working towards that, interestingly enough.
Okay, from a farmer's perspective, I'm hearing you talk about a drier pattern starting now, but really the middle of the month forward and into April. And I'm thinking to myself, this is awesome. Gas up the tractor and let's get this thing rolling. But the concern then in the back of my mind is, are you seeing anything that suggests it sticks around even deeper into the growing season?
A lot of our research does suggest it. Yes, it does. And do I think it's warm and dry enough for a lot of guys to be working by the first week of April? I do, personally. And I'm not out at their farm. I don't know what they're doing. But, just weather-wise, I do think that can happen. And there are plenty of risks for drier weather in our forecast. And we start out with just look at the drought in the southern plains right now and the drought in the northern plains. And the way the pattern's evolving, that can spread. Some of these bigger droughts kind of start in the fall, the prior to the season before spring,
sure.
So research and analogs and stuff can tell us that dryness may spread. And there's no sign of any relief down there for those winter wheat regions down there either. But that's kind of the area where the problem could possibly stem from, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, it does make sense. But it also seems to me like what you're talking about, Michael, is the La Nina pattern. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, La Nina, yes, but even more so, we get into that ENSO neutral. We're going to see here over the course of the next 30 days, La Nina, for the most part, is probably going to be knocked out. I would say by mid-April, we're going to be in an ENSO neutral state. And the neutral state of that, which means we don't have a La Nina or an El Nino. And there's research there that those can statistically lead to drier risks evolving. Due to the speed of the transition and the time that it that it does transition, if that makes sense. So,
yeah.
You know, just for example, our last, you know, big drought was obviously 2012. And that was a largely an end zone neutral late spring and summer. We just went into this kind of stagnant pattern where nothing could happen.
Interesting. So, hey, Kirk.
Yeah.
You still there?
Oops.
Kirk. Yeah, there he is. Kirk, you still there, bud?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, you got me.
Okay. So is this the first time that you've ever heard Michael talk about conditions in the Indian Ocean impacting our conditions here in the U.S.?
Absolutely not. I hear it multiple times a day. It could be 4 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We're talking about the NJO 24/7 in our office.
So I got to admit, guys, what's happening in the Indian Ocean impacting us, what we're doing here? It seems I understand the global currents and stuff like that, but doggone it. Yeah, how do you explain that to somebody that's looking at a weather map for the first time and you point at the Indian Ocean and say, see what's happening here? That's going to be here, be in the middle of the U.S. in the next, whatever, 4 weeks.
The easiest way to put it, and you know, for time constraint purposes, is, you know, when we look at when the Indian Ocean is statistically warmer than normal, the correlation is a drier than normal correlation to the United States. And what we do is we just look at years that correlate to that, where the Indian Ocean is warm, and we know that that's dry. And it's the exact opposite when we're colder in the Indian Ocean, we're a lot wetter in the central U.S. It's really impressive how close the correlation can really be. So that's the easiest way to explain that.
Gotcha. Good. Thank you for doing that for me. I like it when it's easy. So, Michael, take me into May and June real quick. We've only got a couple of minutes left.
Yeah, so the way we see May and June evolving, in some of our spring analog years, the late season frost threats are not off of the table. So to see an early May, late April frost would not 100% shock me. Now, I'm not saying guarantee it, bank on it, it's going to frost, but it is in some of our research. Now, I do believe that as we progress, though, that we'll kind of start to see this dryness and this warmth expanding. And it's going as far as I can go comfortably. I do think that May and into June, you know, can turn pretty dry and pretty warm based on our research. And that's kind of the way we're going with this. I think there's going to be an area of the United States this summer that is going to be dealing with somewhat of a significant drought situation. We're not exactly sure where yet, but we do think that a warmer and drier summer, especially first part of summer, is certainly on the table.
You're not going to drop a pin on the map for me on that one?
No, not today.
Very good. Well, you know, that's going to put us all on edge as we get closer to the growing season. That is there is no question about that. So something that
and just to touch on what Michael was saying too, we're also getting into low sunspot activity. And there's actually really clear research that suggests that low solar equals, you know, later in the year frost risk too. So something to kind of keep an eye out for.
You guys are full of great news today. That's just awesome. Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you again real soon, okay? That's Michael Clark, Kirk Hands, meteorologist, BAM WX. Highlights next, ATB.
What do you think, sweets? Should I wear this dress or the green dress tonight? Oh, really? You thought the green one looked better? This is the green dress, I swear.
Your Farm Dog USA assistant won't be able to help your wife make intelligent fashion decisions, but he will be able to help around the farm by picking up drop tools, managing your herd, and opening latch gates. Learn more at farmdog.org. That's PHARMdog.org.
Are you paying too much for fuel and fertilizer?
verify you're getting the best price with Inputs Monitor from Farm Journal Media. Knowing the low, average, and high price quotes from dealers in your area for fertilizers and farm fuels can save you thousands of dollars. Inputs Monitor gives you an easy, anonymous method to compare fertilizer and fuel prices from across the Midwest. Plus, get grower-focused buying advice, local pricing charts, industry news, and purchase alerts so you don't miss any critical buying opportunities. Visit InputsMonitor.com for subscription information. That's InputsMonitor.com. Unbiased and farmer-focused, Inputs Monitor is the newest and best tool to help growers buy inputs at exactly the right time. Before you book your next fertilizer or fuel contract, verify you're getting a fair price with Inputs Monitor. Learn more at InputsMonitor.com. That's InputsMonitor.com.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Roots, they're your crop's foundation. Your success depends on them. Your roots can make or break you each season. Take charge of your roots this season with Radiate from Crop Production Services. Designed to give your crop a stronger, more robust foundation for yield and quality, Radiate can make all the difference for your crop this season. Ask your CPS dealer about Radiate or go to RadiateGiveBack.com for more information. Always read and follow label directions.
Find it now at ShopFarmJournal.com. Brand new to the shop is The Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This two DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, The Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at ShopFarmJournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at ShopFarmJournal.com.
So, Mr. Woof, is it? Are you absolutely sure you want to take your money out of this strategic financial portfolio and put it all into dog toys?
Your Farm Dog USA assistant won't be able to make savvy financial decisions for you, but he will be able to help around the farm by picking up drop tools, managing your herd, and opening latch gates. Learn more at pharmdog.org.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Top Third Ag Marketing puts the farmer first with a marketing plan that manages risk in every market condition. We protect the downside, and we're more than just about puts. We'll use a strategy based on the current market conditions and your circumstances. Make your plan today. Let Top Third help.
Top Third Ag Marketing, farmer first with a plan for every market. Call us at 877-TT-HEDGE today. That's 877-TT-HEDGE. Futures trading involves the substantial risk of loss.
Today's trading is over. Now it's time to set your strategy for tomorrow. This is AgriTalk After the Bell with Chip Flory.
I love talking weather.
This, according to Google,
yes.
Cedar Falls, Iowa,
yes.
Where we are now,
yes.
11,709 miles from the midpoint of the Indian Ocean.
11,709
miles. Yep. Yep. Now that's going straight across.
Right.
Imagine if you want to cut down and like take an ocean voyage, you know, maybe take the missus along. Hey, we're going on a cruise. Guess what? We're going to the middle of the Indian Ocean to see what the weather's like so we can call Larry back here at the farm and tell him.
I don't know if you
could. I imagine it'd be a lot more than that.
I wonder if you could beat that weather back.
I wonder if you could. You'd have to paddle awful hard.
That's a long ways.
Like I said, cut through Africa. You know, it's only like 12,000 miles.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I would do. It was me.
If it was you, that's what you'd do. I like that. So, yeah,
and I don't know if that's the short way or the long way.
Just a fascinating conversation with the guys. I mean, you get into these this time of the year in particular. Mm-hmm. I asked Michael yesterday on AgriTalk. I said, March is hard, isn't it?
Mm.
And he said, you know what? Yes. March is very difficult because we get into that transition period with the seasons and everything. And the March just is a really tough month when it comes to the short term and even the longer term, because a lot of the trends are in the middle of changing.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was so interesting talking to Kirk about this potential trend change that may be coming to Argentina. And I'm trying to figure out exactly what it might mean for the corn and the soybean crops down there. Soybean crops, this is later than that third week of August rain for this bean crop. It is later than that. And a September rain will help us here in the U.S. I mean, even if that crop's been under stress, September rains do help a bean crop. So I wonder if we do see that change in the weather pattern in Argentina, if it does bring a little bit of pressure into this soy complex, just with the idea that we can take the downside bias off of the outlook on the Argentine bean crop estimate. The earliest planted corn, the early crop corn down in Argentina, which is, it's less than half, but the early planted corn, I don't think that these rains that may be coming are going to do us a whole lot of good. With those, that would be like getting rain on a U.S. crop on Labor Day after a hot and dry July and August.
Right.
You're getting rain on a dead corn crop at that point. The later crop in Argentina, it may, who knows, it may come early enough to help that crop out some down there. We can't rule that out. So, but it's interesting. And like I said, I mean, I've been talking about this persistent wet weather pattern in central Brazil. I'm almost out of breath talking about how it could influence or impact the quantity, quality, and timing of the delivery of that crop to export locations. And yeah, it drains well in central Brazil, but when you get as much rain as what they've been getting, and as Kirk was talking about, that they will continue to get, logistics are obviously an issue, but the quality of the crop, the and in some cases the quantity of the crop, they're question marks in my mind. There's no doubt. Now, China stepped in and bought 120,000 tons of corn or of beans for old crop delivery. Is that a sign that they're getting concerned? No, I'm not going to. Now, if we get another one tomorrow and another one the next day and another one the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Now I'm starting to see some concern from China about either the quantity, quality, or timing of the crop coming out of Brazil, but we're not there yet.
Yeah.
We're not there yet. Then Michael comes on and he starts talking about this change coming in the weather. So I went looking for a second opinion on that. National Weather Service, 6-10-day outlook for March 12th through the 16th. When you look at the temperature forecast, man, it's right down there at the panhandle, Oklahoma and Texas. That's the area where we've got the highest odds of above normal temperatures.
Oh, geez.
But above normal temperatures all through the hard red winter wheat belt, right up through northwest Missouri, most of Iowa, Wisconsin, Minnesota, and then points to the west. Just a narrow band of normal temps running Michigan down into eastern Texas, and then below normal temps expected in the eastern Corn Belt, southern Illinois, most of Indiana and Ohio. And then when we go over to the precip outlook for March 12th through the 16th, it's wet out in California. It's wet in the Rockies. normal rainfall expected in eastern Montana, western North Dakota, most of South Dakota, most of Nebraska, but Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, below normal. Minnesota, Iowa, Missouri, Arkansas, Louisiana, below normal. And all points to the east are expected to see below normal precip. So there's that change in the pattern that Michael was talking about. The National Weather Service obviously sees it coming as well.
Yeah.
But the big question is, does it extend into April? Does it extend into May? Michael, you know, he wouldn't drop a pin on the map for us.
Sure.
and say exactly where that drought or significant drought may take place in 2018. But he sees it happening someplace in the U.S. based on what they're saying, including 11,709 miles away in the middle of the Indian Ocean, and extrapolating that out to what it might mean for us in the middle of the country here as we go forward.
Excellent retention there.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
Thank you. So we've got a lot of weather outlooks coming your way in the months ahead, and obviously we're going to stay right on top of it.
Yep.
Let's get to it. Tweet of the day.
Today's tweets are brought to you by Bovinity. Cows have that quiet, delicious presence that makes us simultaneously at profound peace and profoundly hungry. And now today's tweets. At the Daily Cowman again today. This is 2 days in a row.
Wow.
Hashtag pro tip. Pulled up in the yard tonight right behind my bride. She had just done a 9-hour shift.
I saw this.
I asked her if she wanted to go look for some missing cows in the dark. You know what she said? Sure. Gather up some beers and let me get some jeans on. That, boys and girls, is love.
Love.
At the Hippie Farmer, did you know a 1-pound package of ground beef fits nicely between two pieces of bread? Coincidence? He thinks not. And one more at Farmer Bob Northwest Mo. Difficulty haying today. Unroll it. Cows can't run fast enough. Put it in a hay ring wrong, and it gets to flopping around like Trump's hair on a windy day.
It's tough out there. Thanks for listening today. Thanks to Michael Clark and Kirk Hands. Tomorrow on ATB, get this, guys, Trek Cronin, Cronin Farms and Halo Commodities. Be with us again tomorrow on ATB.
The mighty Prosaro, king of fungicides. Its fast action and long residual make it the keeper of grain quality and yield, the hammer of head and leaf diseases, the number one reducer of scab. When your goal is greater wheat quality and higher yield, use Prosaro fungicide, and the crown of higher profit will be yours. Learn more at prosaro.us. Always read and follow label instructions.
Putting in a hard day's work, doing the right thing, treating people with respect. American values as true as the wind that blows through our farms. For nearly 30 years, there's been an American company working side by side with farmers to harness the power of wind, creating local jobs and new reliable sources of income for small towns. We are Next Era Energy Resources, an American company, proud to bring clean, renewable energy home. Learn more at nexteraenergyresources.com.